It's 11:08. Welcome back on Monday. And going to getting a soft drink in between the second hour and the third hour, stopped at least three different times by people saying, I'd never give up a foul ball. Never. It's mine, man. I want it. I got it fair and square. We'll leave that conversation for another day. Actually, it's our web poll question for the day. If you caught a foul ball, would you give it up to a kid sitting nearby you? Yes or no? It's as simple as that. Go to KTRS.com for the web poll of the day. It's Monday, and that means we need to check in with our buddy Dick Weiss from WeissWright.com. Also of, and I don't know how to promote this, is it St. Louis Platform or is it St. Louis Beacon?
I think we ought to call it the St. Louis Beacon.
St. Louis Beacon. Right. It's the St. Louis Beacon, and go to St. Louis Beacon, stlbeacon.org sometime soon. Actually, if you just go to my website and go to Show Prep, there's a link from my webpage to the website. And it's, let's give it, Dick, another plug. It's a group of former St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporters and writers and editors who want to keep their hand in it and have created a online news outlet,
if you will. A journal, if you will, for enterprise journalism, news that matters, we say. And you can go to that site or and find all kinds of interesting stories, including a piece on the closing of the High Point. I don't know if many people know that.
I was driving by there the other day. It says Gone Fishing, the High Point Theater, which even though it's not very comfortable seats and not a very good screen, it's still the High Point. It's still tradition.
Right.
So you walk in there, it's still great.
One of the great cinematic restrooms. I don't know if you've been upstairs, but it's a wonderful old-style restroom.
Really?
Yeah, visit it. Check it out.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I haven't met anybody with a wide stance there. Let me say that.
There you
go. A nice, clean restroom.
Tom Shales of the Washington Post, I believe, right? Or New York Times?
Washington Post.
Washington Post. That's right. Was very critical of the presidential debate last week, saying that Charles Gibson and George Stephanopoulos, it was basically called them an embarrassment for what they did. While asking questions of both Senator Barack Obama and Senator Clinton, as one of the media critics, if you will, Dick Weiss, do you agree with Tom Shales or disagree with him?
I'm pretty much in agreement with Tom Shales. That said, I think both Charles Gibson and George Stephanopoulos are distinguished journalists, but they did not have a good day, spending 45 minutes or so on questions that were of the more gotcha variety and things that had been hashed over, Jeremiah Wright and flag lapel pins and so on.
Right.
And not very enlightening for the voters of Pennsylvania who are trying to decide who's the best person to be president of the United States.
But there, I don't think there is a question you could ask Barack or Hillary that they haven't already answered or refused to answer. I mean, because right. Their platforms are very similar.
They are similar, but I think one thing I haven't heard a lot about in this campaign, maybe because they agree, but is on education.
Right.
Who's been talking about education? It's a really important topic in this country, and there isn't any discussion of it. And while they may agree on some topics, it's still interesting to get into some of the details, as Gibson did later on in the debate on capital gains taxes, which is an interesting thing. And they will have to, even if they agree themselves on their positions, how they articulate those positions and how they contrast them with John McCain is also interesting and important, I think.
Here's why I think ABC dropped the ball, or somebody dropped the ball. George Stephanopoulos was an insider, was at the table during Bill Clinton's presidential run in 1992.
Right.
He was there.
Right.
I mean, primary colors, he's the black guy, right?
Right. And I think he was on the TV show. There was a character, Josh Lyman, on the TV show.
On The West Wing.
On The West Wing,
right.
Yeah.
Who was sort of semi-relatively thought of as the George Stephanopoulos character. So he was inside the Clinton inner circle. There was too much of a conflict of interest for him to be asking questions.
Well, he might have mentioned that. Or somebody might have mentioned that
right.
He used to be with the Clinton campaign. A lot of these commentators now, Chris Matthews used to work for Tip O'Neill,
right.
And so on. They all have many of them have a history, and they aren't fully disclosed.
Right. And it's one thing for Chris Matthews to say, I worked for Tip O'Neill, and then ask John McCain questions. It's another thing, though, if somebody worked for John McCain and then asked John McCain questions in a debate style.
True.
Either he's throwing softballs, or he really doesn't like the person, so he's looking for way. So either way, it's just a bad deal. He shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, and in Stephanopoulos' defense, over the course of his career as a journalist, I think he's generally been regarded as being pretty even-handed and asking tough questions of everyone. This one, though, this whole debate seemed a little bit biased on the side of Hillary Clinton. People say, well, that's evening things up, and maybe so. But there you have it.
I don't. I think that debates have outlived their usefulness, quite frankly.
Yeah, I wonder how much that moved the needle. Yeah. I wonder how much anything is moving the needle at this point. Most people, I can't believe that there are undecided voters out there. Apparently, there's something like 8% left in Pennsylvania. What are they waiting for? What else is it that they need to decide?
Right.
What precinct do they need to hear from?
Right. And I think for the rest of us, I think the rest of America has tuned out. I think they tuned in when it came to their state. They voted, and now they're just going to sit and wait for it to happen.
I find it, even as somebody who's very interested in the media, I find it very hard to listen anymore to the back and forth because it's so old and it's so tiresome.
And there's nothing new. Yeah. All right. Your old employer, excuse me, is getting rid of their security guards?
Well, apparently so. There are a group of security guards that were hired by the company, many of long standing, many years, decades, who are being shown the door, we're told. One of them is a guy by the name of Ernest Pulliam, who does the late night watch, and he kept us safe as we went to our cars at night, because, as you know, the Post Batch is in somewhat a sketchy neighborhood.
Less sketchy today than it was.
Yeah.
10 years or
so. And there have been carjackings and things like that. And Ernest is a very popular guy, and he got notice that his services would no longer be needed as of the first week of May. Now, let me give you a little context for this. This is the same company that when its Lee Enterprises took over, gave its publisher $1 million as kind of a retention bonus. And then when he decided to leave, they gave him a $650,000 severance. I might have that reversed, but a lot of money, okay?
Right.
This is the same company who gave a bonus to the CEO, Mary Junk, when she didn't make her numbers. They said, oh, well, we'll give you a bonus anyway, I think to the tune of $350,000. This is the same company that gave reporters who left, people like me, 2 weeks of pay for every year served, up to a year's pay. Ernest gets, he tells me he made $35,000 a year. He will leave with $9,000, essentially a quarter of a year's pay for 22 years of service. Now, they told Ernest that maybe he could work for the company that was coming in on a contract basis. Ernest made $18.77 an hour. The pay, Ernest tells me, is $9 to $10 an hour. So Ernest won't be working for that company.
And he worked there how long?
22 years.
22 years.
22 years. Another thing about Ernest is that his daughter, Tanya, who works at the paper, I don't know if she still does or not, donated a kidney to an employee.
And wait a minute.
This is a thanks
wait a minute.
That Ernest gets.
This security guard's
daughter. Donated a kidney. An employee at the paper needed a transplant, and Tanya donated her kidney.
Was there any relation? Were they friends? Did they know each other? Were they acquaintances?
Just colleagues. Not even in the same department. Now, Ernest sits down in the grand hall at the Post-Dispatch, where etched on the wall is the Pulitzer platform that talks about opposing predatory plutocracy and afflicting the comfortable and comforting the afflicted. And those words must ring hollow to Ernest at this point.
So it sounds like the newspaper is obviously now outsourcing their security.
Yes.
And so instead of paying somebody $35,000 a year after 20 years of service, they'd rather outsource it. Mm-hmm. And this other company's paying $9 an hour for somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. And this guy's name, Ernest what?
Ernest Pulliam. We give him a shout out. And
Ernest, thanks strong, buddy.
We're saying our prayers for you, Ernest.
Wow. Thanks for coming. The Boston Herald is in the news. for making news about not.
Yes. A few weeks ago, we always like to be on top of things on the cutting edge. We talked about a satirist by the name of Andy Borowitz. And Andy makes up stuff and sends out a satire by email, but also his satires appear on the Huffington Post.
Right.
And the latest piece was about Andy said that Dick Cheney appeared on Meet the Press and wasn't buying this thing that Hillary was really down with the hunters. And he, and of course, as everybody knows, Cheney is a terrific hunter and a great shot. And he challenged.
Wait, didn't he hit his friend? Who's up?
Well, there's that. Anyway, he challenged Hillary to go out with him into a duck blind.
Okay.
So Borowitz said, they put this on the Huffington Post. And the Boston Herald, in some way, somehow.
Hold on. Now, this Arianna Huffington Post was a satire. It was a
yes,
joke.
Yes, it was.
He's a Dave Barry-esque type of writer.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
And the Boston Herald, apparently some editor at the Boston Herald saw that on the Huffington Post and said, no kidding, Cheney on Meet the Press challenging Hillary to go out to a duck blind. We got to have this. So he picks it up, and they run it as fact in the Boston Herald. So there you go.
So the Boston Herald had to do a giant.
They had to do a little, yes.
Yeah.
A little correction.
That's a great story. All right. We don't have enough time to talk about it fully, but there is a story in the New York Times that is quite fascinating over the weekend. I have only gotten halfway through it, and that is the story of these military analysts that are hired by ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, and they come on. Anytime bombs are dropped and anytime anything goes on militarily, they're there as a former Pentagon official who's now independent and free and can talk and can explain to the rest of us what exactly is going on.
Apparently independent. Now, some of them work for contractors who do business with the government. And part of the reason they get these plum jobs is that they have access to the government and the Bush administration. And so all these military or many of these military analysts are invited in and were cultivated by the Bush administration and sold the line about how well things were going in Iraq. Then they go out and to the TV, the cable shows, and they talk about it. Now, there is an apparent conflict of interest that nobody was really aware of, including apparently the cable stations that hired them.
The cable stations. Now, how much responsibility falls on the cable stations as opposed to the individual analyst who, if they think that they are being, shall we say, compromised, mm-hmm. that they either back off, don't go on the radio or the television, or stop talking to the Bush administration. But it's their own individual reputation on the line, isn't it?
Right. I think the responsibility is on both. You have to, as a cable editor or official, you have to vet these people and make sure that they are either independent or disclose what their connections are.
Right.
But as a journalist or a commentator, I think you need to be upfront about who you work for. And just let me disclose again that I'm a pensioner at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I work for the St. Louis Beacon. I have conflicts all over the place. And I think earlier in the show, I probably just cut my throat, but
are. Well, I mean, I think you can't work in the media today without having conflicts of interest.
Yes.
This radio station is half owned by the St. Louis Cardinals. We talk about the St. Louis Cardinals all the time with Ballpark Village and the mayor's office and good, bad, and whatever else.
Right.
Having nothing to do with baseball. So you disclose it and you let the listener make his or her own mind.
Take it with
up.
Whatever grain of salt you want to.
But in this instance, it seems like some of these analysts thought one thing, didn't say it on the air, said something 180 degrees different than what they thought because they wanted to curry favor with either the Pentagon, the administration, and they were afraid their access was going to be cut off.
Yes, there are a few analysts who owned up to that, and there were a few who said, well, I'm not motivated by anything but doing a great job for the American people. So they're all over the place. And you have to read this New York Times piece pretty carefully. It's quite long, but it's quite interesting.
Yeah, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, the best story is a fairly insightful and hilarious piece called Objects on Your Plate May Be Smaller Than They Appear, and it talks about how restaurateurs are dealing with the recession and how they are not doing quite as well, and so they're going to be reducing the portions on your plate, but trying to make them look a little bit bigger and more attractive. They call that plate coverage. And they also are changing the menus. And I didn't know this, but consultants tell you that if you spell out the word $34, it will seem a lot like a lot less money than if you put $34. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
No. So if you see a menu that spells out the prices, you may know you're getting hosed.
I was going against the AP style manual.
Right.
Because
right.
anything over 10, right, or 9.
Yeah, right. You got it. $10,
you can,
right.
You can use the numbers.
So. Yeah. No AP style at your restaurant, local restaurant.
All right. That, and you can find that link at weissrite.com, WeissWrite.com. That's Dick's website. Also, go to my website, themcgrawshow.com, and there's a link to the St. Louis Beacon, which is up there. And it's still the slow rollout. I guess the official start date is May 1st, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a soft opening. Actually, I think the big promotion is going to come in the fall.
Okay, so, good.
But you can go there.
Dick, thanks, buddy. 1024 here on the Big 550 KTRS.